Congregation, a very blessed new year, 2021. It's amazing how fast it goes. Another year has begun. Another year is behind us. We need forgiveness for the past and we need hope for the future. We thank you very much for all the best wishes, the cards, the emails, the texts, the personal words. They are very much appreciated. Thank you also on behalf of my family. And a special blessed new year to the consistory. I would have loved to have them here to my left hand, but there is only one here. But they are listening along also today. We have been close to each other. We experience brotherhood and love. We are kind of friends. It's a real blessing to have you as a consistory. And may the Lord continue to be with us and to give us also wisdom and love and tact and especially love of souls for eternity. A blessed new year to the custodians. A blessed new year also to the organists, to the ushers. To them also helping out on the sound booth. May the Lord give us all his blessing. Also, best wishes for our confession class. May the Lord give also some time yet to meet again, to see each other also, and to have some personal contact in church or in the hall. Let us pray for that and see what happens. Also, all the young people, the children at home. I know it's hard. It's hard to sit in the chair in the living room, sit next to your dad and next to your mom on the couch, and then to listen the whole service long. But I would like to ask you a favor, young people, children. I ask like you a favor. Let your parents listen. Give them time to listen, that they may concentrate. Don't annoy them. Don't make it difficult for them. And just sit on your chair and sit on the couch and listen yourself. Try to understand something of it. I try also to insert some pieces for young people, children. And parents, insist. This is your worship service. I respect it. And you might have to be a little stronger and say, no, you sit on that chair. No, you don't do that. Of course, the younger ones is different again, the older ones, may the Lord give wisdom. Hope. We are like to have hope. But we don't know what the future will bring. It can get worse. It can get really worse when we see what's happening in this world. It's not getting any better. And yet, may we also be positive and rely on the Lord. And give it in God's hands and believe in his providence and not panic, but be calm and trusting. Give us this day our daily bread. But let me try to fill it in this morning, what that trusting is. Trusting who? Trusting what? Trusting how? The text for this morning is from Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. The well-known verses. I'll look them up for you. The well-known verses in 6b. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, if we have that, if we rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, to rely on him entirely, then we have hope and courage. So, Christ, the only hope for the new year. That's the theme. Christ is the only hope for the new year. Four thoughts. In the first place, as Wonderful Counselor. I took that comma out. You see that? It says in our translation, wonderful, comma, counselor. I took the comma out. Because I think it can also mean, it means wonderful counselor. Secondly, the mighty God. In the third place, the everlasting Father. And in the fourth place, as the Prince of Peace. So Christ, the only hope for the new year. What a hope, if you may rely on that wonderful counselor, that mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Congregation, as I said, I took the comma out. But let us first look at the word wonderful. And then the word counselor, and then combine them. Wonderful. When do we say wonderful? What does it mean in English, wonderful? Well, it's a wonderful person. So well behaved, and you can talk with a person, a wonderful person, a wonderful young man to marry, a wonderful young lady, wonderful people, nice people, wonderful meal, it tastes good. We use the word wonderful in many ways. It's something amazing, something that we like, something that works well, a wonderful car. You know, that's actually not what it means here. It might be included because Christ is a wonderful God, is a wonderful Savior. He is wonderful, but here it's a little different though. Wonderful. You know, words change over time, right? In meaning. They may originally mean something else than they mean today. Sometimes it changes completely. For example, we read about the disciples that were andres idiotes. They were idiots, it says in the Bible. But in those days, idiot meant simple, not educated. And now it means something completely different. So you have to be really careful when you translate the Bible, that you understand that the words change in meaning. Also, this word wonderful. Wonderful, he means miraculous. It means amazing in the sense of, I did not expect that. This is beyond the ordinary. This is so strange. This is so miraculous. Wonders are happening. And that's who Christ is. He is doing wonders, right? He is able to do wonders. Sometimes people are stuck and say, I'm suffering with this for so long, I don't know how to get out of this and how to solve this problem. And then somehow a wonderful person can empathize. But the Lord Jesus does not just empathize. He can solve things because he is doing wonders. He's doing wonders in the sense that he is healing people and bringing people together. He is wonderful in the sense that he changes hearts, that he draws people out of that miry clay, that he's doing the impossible. You know, when you look at church history and you see what people are like John Bunyan when he was a young person, he was really rambunctious. He was a very difficult child. He was so ungodly. He didn't care. He was stealing. And Lord changed him because there is a wonderful counselor who's doing wonders. And also people so pious and so high-minded and so proud, Lord can just break them like that and draw them in for himself, so that they may see who God is and need a Savior. So whatever is on your heart, whatever your concerns are today for the future, maybe there are certain things in your mind, I want that to change, I can't handle that anymore. your family, marriage, raising children, whatever it is. I would like to tell you, the Lord Jesus is a wonderful, a wonder-doing, a wonder-doing Savior. He can do it. I'm not saying that he will exactly the way you desire it, but he can do it. He is able to do so. All power is given unto him in his hands. Nothing is too wonderful for him. You know, the disciples said, who can then be saved? If the rich young ruler cannot be saved, who else can be saved? And he said, it's impossible with men. Not difficult. Impossible. But all things, think about that this day. Think about all things. Does not matter what. All things are possible with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that wonderful, wonder-doing counselor. Christ leads to miraculous results. It's much more than being nice and good and wonderful. It is the power of God. So I have a text here on my sketch, Isaiah 28:29. This also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel. Why is the text here on my sketch? Isaiah 28:29. In that verse you see the same thing, the combination of the words wonderful and counselor. That's one of the reasons why I took the comma out. Also, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, the Almighty God, which is wonderful in counsel, wonder-doing in counsel. So you might feel paralyzed and stuck and locked up and limited and uncertain and whatever you feel. You know, let me just emphatically say this morning that it's the Lord Jesus. A triune God, but now a Lord Jesus who is wonderful, a wonder-doing counselor. Counselor. You know, English is my second language, not yours. But counselor is spelled in two different ways, right? Sometimes with an S, S-E, counselor. And sometimes it's translated with a C, an I, counselor. A counselor is someone in a council, student council, or city council. And then there are counselors. And those councils decide. And those councils discuss, and those councils advise one another, together with the mayor, right? They decide and rule and govern together. Counselor. There's also the word counselor, S-E. Also has different meanings, but the main meaning is to advise. You go for counseling. You go to someone who qualifies for marriage counseling or educational counseling or counseling for depression or communication or something else to understand you, to listen to you, to help you to get out of the rut. So what is it here? Well, you say counselor is here written with an S-E, so it must be advising. Well, it's actually both. The Lord Jesus is not only advising. He is not only saying, well, I would think this is the best, it's your choice. He works it himself. He is also deciding. And in the original words, you find that combination, that he advises, but he advises in such a way that is so wise and so powerful that people listen and things change because he's a wonderful counselor, a wonder-doing counselor. He rules and governs and advises. Now many have advised mankind. Satan, you know you can eat of that tree, no problem. Look, it looks so good. You will be like God. You will know good and evil. So I advise you to eat of it, Satan said. He advised. It was the wrong advice. And they took the wrong advice. But Satan is such a craft. In craftiness, he gives the wrong advice. He brings darkness. He brings hopelessness. And Satan tells you, you can do that. Everyone is doing it. No wonder the consequences are not that big, and you know you will deal with it afterwards. No problem, just go ahead. And he encourages young friends and older ones to sin. Sin is sweet, it feels good, it feels fantastic, it feels heavenly, it feels godly. Just go ahead, do it. He advises against God's will. And then when you do it, he's laughing. And he is advising to just leave the church and to give up on it and to say, no, it's senseless and you can be saved anyway, anyhow. You have sinned too much. He is so discouraging, or he is also sometimes over-encouraging people. The counsel of Christ, his advice, his strong advice and his work is, he is so faithful, so trustworthy in his counseling, mighty God. Also, wonderful counselor, he is so faithful, he's someone you can immediately trust and pour your heart out for. He's unselfish in his counseling. He's wise. And he counsels personally from the heart. You know, some counselors just do the job. Some counselors want to get paid a lot. And it's about the money, I'm afraid. There are many good counselors as well. But this counselor counsels for free and from the heart. Some counselors are very good at what they have read in the books, and they have a good memory and they can immediately diagnose you, but they have no warmth, no heart, and you just don't connect with them so easily. But this is the wonderful counselor, and when he speaks, he speaks sense into people. You know the way he counseled the Samaritan woman? So beautiful, so cautious, so friendly, not condemning her, but just asking her, get your husband. I have no husband, right? And so on. Or the counselor. Or for this counselor, you don't need an appointment. He's always available. You can contact him anytime. Doctors, counselors, pastors, psychologists, psychiatrists can be so wrong, can be just fooled by them. But the Lord Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He exactly knows what people are in need of, and you don't confuse him. So now combine those two. Wonderful counselor. He decides in counsel. He is the highest one in the council of heaven, governing everything, guiding everything. But he is also able and powerful enough to change people's heart and to change their course in life. And he is able to help people out in difficult circumstances, and especially regarding their hearts, the impossible is possible for him. Now, sometimes counselors say, Yeah, been here now for 10 times or 20 times or 30 times. I can't help you. There's some that are very honest to all that. Say, I can't help you anymore. But he can. Wonderful. Wonder-doing. Counselor. Rely on him. Seek him also for the new year. And make a point of it every day to pray to that counselor for his counsel. And open that book. Open the word of the living God. Because to whom else shall we go? He has the words. He has the words of eternal life. And he is called the Word. And he is the prophet. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God. Second thought. Mighty God. What do you think? Well, the Lord Jesus is also God. The Savior is the second person in the Godhead. He is not less God than the Father is or than the Holy Spirit is. He is the Almighty God, the Mighty God. So you think of God who is able in strength and in wisdom to do things. He has the power, right? The Mighty God. The Lord Jesus being God and being mighty. Right. But sometimes words have a different flavor. What do you mean? Well, I can say to someone, hey boy, or hey man, or hey dude, or hey, there are many different words I can use for a young man. But all those words have a different flavor. Hey fellow. So in different contexts, words have a different flavor. We call that a connotation. A certain ring, a certain fragrance, a feeling in that word. So words don't only have a content, it's about a young man, it's also, they have also a feeling to it. And so also the word mighty in our text has a flavor. It has a military flavor. It's about someone who is at war. Someone with a sword. Someone with a spear. Someone who is strong. I mean, bodily strong. And is able to fight like the young David. He was able. He was able to kill Goliath. He had such a courage and a wisdom and a power. You know, King Saul was sometimes very down. He was a very difficult person. He had mood changes. And an evil spirit came to him and just disturbed him. And he got so angry at everything. And one day he said, you know, I like to become more calm through music. So do you know someone who could provide a person who can play well on the harp or so? 1 Samuel 16, and Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty, valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. So there David already was a type of the Lord Jesus. Playing well on the music of the gospel. A mighty, valiant man with courage, a hero, and a man of war, a trained soldier, and prudent in matters, not being ahead of himself, but doing things at a time, a comely person, the Lord being with him. So I see that in the mighty God. I see in him someone at war and fighting. You know, when there's war, you need someone to deliver, someone to conquer. And sometimes there are situations compared to that in our families. There's war. And for sure, there's also by nature war with God. And we like to win from the Lord and rebel against God and take things in our own hands and being our own boss. But Christ is the mighty man. You don't slay him. You don't win from him. You don't conquer him. He is the mighty man. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. See? Often that word, mighty God, is connected to war. And you may also know the name already in Hebrew. You know the angel Gabriel, right? Gabriel. Well, that's almost the same as mighty God. El is God. And Gabar or Gebor is mighty. So Gabriel is the mighty God angel sent by the Almighty God. And that's also here. He is the Gebor El, the Gabriel himself. That's why the people of Israel were able to return from captivity. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Or think of Judges 6, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is mighty in battle. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor take reward. So he is not just strong, he conquers. And combined it with the previous thought, that all things are in his hands, that he is also the wonderful counselor and the mighty God at the same time. What a strength. What a strategy. What a power. That ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. So that the power of the Lord Jesus, very early in his ministry, he let the disciples experience his mighty God side when they were together in a boat on the Lake of Galilee. There was a storm, a tempest, and the waves were lapping into the boat and began to sink. And they cried, we drown, we perish. And he calmed the storm, and the wind was laying down. And they said, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. I mean, the Lord Jesus. So yes, we may also pray to the Lord Jesus. We may pray to God in general, but also to Jesus himself and say today, on your knees, for example, O thou wonderful counselor, O thou mighty God, go with me in this new year. may thou be my warrior, my counselor. Oh, he has the power to lay down his life, and he has the power to take it again. He has the power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So he gives life with his power to whosoever God the Father has given him, the elect. He rose from the dead with his power. He paid the price for the unbelief of his church. So what's needed, though, is to not only hear about this mighty God, but to be reconciled to him, so that he is your Savior and your mighty God and your wonderful counselor. And in order to receive him, we have to come to the point that we don't do anything anymore. That we just admit for that mighty God, I can do nothing. Because the mighty God is really honored when people say, I'm hopeless. I can't save myself. I cannot help myself in any possible way. And then people feel defeated and feel in a corner and feel at a dead-end way. And then the Lord interferes and shows his power and his wisdom as the wonderful counselor, as the mighty God. So what do we need for that? You know that. How do sinners get connected to that mighty God, to that wonderful counselor? It is by faith only, by believing him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly. You become an ungodly person yourself. So unworthy of life, such a hopeless case, and then you see something of him that he conquers and that he is doing all the work himself and that he does not leave anything in your hands. Oh, he is a great warrior, and he has won, and he will win, and he will conquer. In the third place, everlasting Father. I keep that short. Because we talked about our Father which art in heaven, right? Not too long ago. But the strange thing here is that the Lord Jesus is called Everlasting Father. The Lord Jesus. When we say our Father which art in heaven, we mean the first person, but also the second and also the third. Sometimes the Father refers to God completely, to the triune God. Here in our text, the word Father specifically refers to Christ. That's amazing. So the Lord Jesus is also Father-like. He is not the first person, but he resembles the first person, doesn't he? He has those same attributes, the same kindness. It's completely the same God, right? He is not the same person. He is the second person, but he is yet the same God. And fathers feel the pain of the children, don't they? They are hurting when their daughter, their son, their child is hurting. They just feel that pain in their own hearts. Like a father pitieth the children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him in godly, tender fear. So Christ is also Father in that sense. And it's important to look at that from the perspective of John 14. As you know, we find the word Father, I mentioned it before, a couple of weeks ago, that the word Father has occurs 800 times or so in the Bible and 100 times in John. So the Lord Jesus often talks about his Father, but you feel that he's so close to his Father that he is kind of Father himself. The Lord Jesus, Father himself. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father. That I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. See that? That is John 14, verse 20. That I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So Christ is fatherly. And he said one day, if a son shall ask bread of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, because you are, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? So the Lord Jesus is very close to the Father, and in the Father, and second person in the Godhead. So the Lord Jesus is empathizing, is fatherly, he cares, he's kind. And he is an everlasting Father. He does not die. He does not leave. He is there for his church all the time. You know, fathers sometimes die. My father died not long ago. I don't have a father anymore. I would have loved to talk to him today. He is not there anymore. But the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not leave ever. He is always present. He is always available. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the wonderful Counselor. And he is also the Prince of Peace. Forethought. Our forethought. The Prince of Peace. The King of Peace. It's the same. He's royalty. The one who gives peace and makes peace and is peace. You know, remember why the Lord has made man? Why the Lord has created Adam and Eve in paradise? What was the purpose? To show peace. There was the state of rectitude, that all things are peaceful between Adam and Eve and God. It was peace. It was shalom. There was Irene. Irene, Irenic, means also peaceful, right? The same word that's in Greek, Irene and shalom, meaning harmony in all aspects, reconciliation. So we have broken that peace. So there is hostility. Not hostility from God to us, although there is anger, but hostility from people's side to God. We don't want him. We like to reign and rule ourselves and make our own decisions, and God is good, but we don't need him. So we broke away from God. And the Lord would not have done injustice to let it that way. will be that way. War. And he will win. And he will conquer. But Lord Jesus has yet come to make peace. But there was no peace. And he's able to make that peace. He's the Prince of Peace himself, the manifestation of peace. He can bring peace in families, in marriages, in at work, in church. But he can also make peace between a holy God, a righteous one, and a vile sinner who is so far apart. And he can make that peace. You know, he, for example, met with his disciples after his resurrection and said, "Peace be unto thee." Remember? Suddenly he appeared, the doors were closed. "Peace be unto thee." He did not want to scare them, but he wanted to show them peace. Peace to reconcile sinners, to restore and repair relationships. You know, the relationship between God and man seemed to be irreparable. Seemed to be irreparable. What can you do? It's too much has happened. They'll never be right again. You know, sometimes people say that in regarding the marriages. Things have happened, it cannot be solved. It's absolutely impossible. And sometimes it looks that way. But it also looked that way spiritually. That it was so impossible to bring those two together again. But Lord Jesus came, the Prince of Peace. And he came to repair not only the horizontal relationships, that too, but also vertical with God. Both vertical and horizontal. I know there is also a false peace. I know Jeremiah and Ezekiel both talk about that. About false prophets teaching peace, peace, and there is no peace. They are healing lightly and deceive people. But although we have to keep our eyes open for that possibility of deceiving yourself, the Word of God is the peace book and refers to the peace child. And the Word of God does not deceive us. And we read in God's Word about a great peace. You know, without God, by nature, without God, lonely, guilty, uncertain, lost, nobody can be close to. Because, to be honest, the wicked have no peace, no calm, no peace in their hearts. But there is only one peace that really satisfies and is true peace and harmony and everything. That is the peace that is to be found in the blood of Christ. Because he is our peace, the Bible says. You know, when you see as a vile sinner those outstretched arms of the Lord, of the Lord Jesus, peace be unto thee. You see something of God's friendly face. Then through the operation and the application of the Holy Spirit, the Lord comes close by. Then God's children feel that way. They feel peace in their hearts. They feel peace with God, peace with people, and peace with all circumstances. All the peace. Then you don't complain about anything. Then you have peace with everything. when you're so calm in your heart, that you at the beginning of the new year can give it all over in his hands, because he is the Prince of Peace, and you don't have any worries left anymore, then you receive that peace in your heart, well, then your heart is going a little faster because of that joy in your heart. You don't have any complaints about anything anymore because you have peace with God. You have a desire to sing God's glory. It's a peace passing all understanding. It's so full, that peace. Have you tasted it? In church? At home? When opening the Bible? When you heard the voice of the shepherd? Did he take all your fears away? Did he come close to you? Did he say to you, peace be unto thee? And he took all the problems away and you just had the best life. What an amazing peace. You didn't think you would ever receive that peace because you don't deserve it. You think, I will be the last of receiving that. The Lord could just pass me by. And then that wonder, that wonderful counselor, that mighty God, such an everlasting Father, all in the Lord Jesus Christ, coming towards you and saving you, and you believing in him. You know, then you don't have enemies anymore. There is joy and light and harmony. Then we see the peace of God because the Lord Jesus paid the price. It's through his blood. He gave his life. He was crucified. He said, it's finished. It takes all the fears away and gives fullness. It's a peace that even works on your body. That even helps your, let me just give an example, it helps your blood pressure. This peace makes you healthier, stronger, emotionally also. So when people have a heart disease, this peace is really medication for that. This peace helps for your marriage because you become a peacemaker. This peace helps with falling asleep at night. I understand some people, they cannot sleep, they have a hard time sleeping, and I don't condemn them for anything like that. But I yet believe that when the Lord gives peace, that it makes a difference, don't you think? You still may need sleep medication, that's really well possible, but what I want to say is that peace with God is yet so powerful, it also has effect on your body and on your sleep. You know that being conscious of God's faithfulness, and then you're not proud. It's not a proud peace, it's a humble peace. Let me quote a few texts in the Bible proving this. Psalm 4 verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. See that? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. You know, if you can fall asleep that way and start the new year that way. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. There's an abundance of peace coming for the church in eternity. An abundance of peace, perfect peace. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, everything. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let be afraid. The Lord Jesus talking also in John 14 to his disciples, I give my peace. That's a different peace. It's not the peace of the world. The world has no peace. So, let me end this sermon. And again, a blessed new year. Now the Lord of peace himself, I cannot do much, but the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. What a text. That's a text to close with. Now the Lord of peace. He is characterized by giving peace. He does not want war. He wants peace with you. He offers peace and pardon. Now the Lord of peace himself, he is personally involved. It's not only some people talking about him, but he himself gives you peace. Not sometimes here and there, but always. Always. By all means. In all ways in the future. So you look at the circumstance, you're down. Don't do that. May the Lord of peace give you peace. Amen.